And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, December the 6th, 2025. It is season 19, episode number 38. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you want to, join in on the show, anything like that, you can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can send us a tweet or a whatever at in-game chat, of course. You can find us that way. We're also, of course, on Twitch right now. You can go to twitch.tv, and you can find us there. Search for In-Game Chat. There'll be, you'll find us. You can watch us live while we broadcast. Join us in the chat room as well if you want to do that. And we're also on Discord. If you want to get to our Discord, just go to our website, ingamechat.net. Go all the way to the bottom. You'll find the links to get in touch with us and the link to get into our Discord as well. While I'm waiting to... Well, not waiting, really, but while I've got it handy here... So, first things first, which is usually what you do when you're talking about first things. You might hear some background noise today. They are replacing the roof of the radio station, and they are currently working on it right now. It is absolutely something that just cannot be done during the week, you know? It would, but you know, during our little show, sure. And honestly, that's fine. I don't mind. It's going to get dark soon anyway, so they'll probably stop. I guess I don't know. Maybe they brought lights to keep
you
going.
Got lights and spotlights out there.
It's going to get cold though while they're still doing it too.
It's cold now.
I mean, yeah, it's going to get colder then.
And the lights will heat things up as bright as those things are.
I don't normally do energy drinks, but this came free, and so I'm trying it out.
Yeah, don't do too many at one time.
No. I don't. Again, I don't do energy drinks really at all.
Yeah.
But I do notice that, you know, a lot of times in this show, I feel pretty tired afterwards, or at least during. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that'll help. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, welcome into the show. A lot of stuff to go over. A ton of stuff. We're not even going to count the Black Friday stuff. Because really, there's nothing really to talk about there. Although, there was a lot more deals that came about after our show on Saturday, that Saturday specifically. There were a lot more shows that were, there were a lot more deals. Like Walmart released theirs, and it was really, really good as far as some of the deals that they had going on there. And there were all kinds of other deals happening. So hopefully you got what you wanted, the price you wanted it, or less, if that was the case. In the past 2 weeks, though, what have you been playing?
I'm still doing the standard fare with MLB The Show and Virtua Fighter 5, but something new that I did start playing was Where Winds Meet.
Hey!
I started playing that.
PS5?
PS5, yes.
Okay, yeah, because it's free to play, right?
Yeah, it's free to play.
Yeah, okay.
I think NetEase. NetEase, yeah. That game, yeah. And so I started playing the solo campaign. You got a solo campaign and the online campaign to let you play with friends. I haven't started playing with friends yet, but I got some folks that I know that I can get in touch with, and we can all get together and start seeing what that's all about whenever we get the chance. But from what I did play, exploring the area, seeing all the things I could do, I fell in love with getting the spear as my main weapon. I wanted to use that. But it seems to be the way it worked anyway in solo was you get your weapons, you just get your weapons as you go through the game. So I picked up the sword and a spear, and I think there's a fan and a larger, I forget the name of it, it's a larger blade that you can use because I was getting techniques for it as I was walking through the air. You just gather up stuff as you're going through, at least in solo mode. But the aspect of the game that stood out to me the most was the way you can get techniques by just being observant. And by techniques, I mean things like, for instance, Tai Chi. Tai Chi is a technique you can use to draw enemies in and then force them out if you do your commands right. But the way I learned that was basically watching a bear doing Tai Chi on a tree to get this beehive that he wanted to get honey from. That's how it works in the game. You just observe people.
I mean, I know you observe
doing things like that, and you learn it if you do the timing right. There's a timing mechanic, a quick time mechanic that allows you to.
Why is a bear doing Tai Chi?
He wants the
okay
nest.
So this is a fantastical setting then. Are we talking about? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tales from the Far East. You know. So yeah,
I wasn't sure because I honestly don't know much about the game itself other than the fact mm-hmm. that it is free to play.
Yeah. Dave, it's just a YouTube or Google search away. It'll tell you everything you need. But yeah. So just observing the bear, I was able to learn this technique, and then they want you to use it on the bear to, to practice it, right? Another technique was, I forget the name of it, but it involves looking at a toad. It's basically a slam attack. Jump in the air, slam on the ground, and knock out all enemies that you come in contact with.
But you learn that by watching a toad.
You watch a toad.
Okay.
And if you increase it long enough, you'll get the toad's poison. And instead of knocking them back, you'll stun and poison them or something like that. So, you know, things like that. It's just, so basically just a lot of fun things to find exploring the whole area and gathering all you can and whatnot in the solo play. But like I said, I haven't played the online aspect yet. I'll see what I can do with that. And, tell you more about it later on, but other than that, just those three games this week.
It's got me curious.
Yeah, it'll be a good thing to look at. I mean, heck, the thing had like past 9 million players. I think.
It's been making the rounds as far mm-hmm. as conversation mm-hmm. and attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really been interested in it.
Yeah.
But, I've heard a lot of good things, and I thought, well, I say a lot of good things. I've been reading more about it, and not in the negative sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, all right, well, I hope that's filling I hope that's filling up something for somebody.
Yeah.
As long as it's working.
Yeah, the only drawback I'm experienced with the game right now is the ease of navigation. There's a lot of stuff and menus to go through in this game. And during the tutorial phase of the game, it said, hit this button to go to the menu to change some equipment or add some things and everything like that, right? Well, I hit the button, got to the menu, and when I left the menu, it was like, okay, now how do I get back to that menu? Because when I hit start, there's nothing.
So it's got some UI issues.
Yeah, for me at least. There's a whole bunch of stuff to go through, so much so that
Well, you said navigation. You don't mean the necessarily movement
menu.
Of your character.
No,
you're
no,
talking
movement,
about
movement through the menu.
Right,
the game.
Okay.
Yeah. How do I get back to that menu? There was like three or four incidents where it showed me a menu that I really didn't know how to get to. Just said hit X to go to this menu, but it didn't explain how to get to that menu from the main menu when you hit the start button.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a trial and error finding what I need to do going through that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the only drawback I'm having so far, but maybe probably indicated there's a lot of content in the game anyway to deal with anyway. So that may be a reason why it's like that. It just wasn't maybe arranged in the best way to me, but given time, of course, with anything, I'll probably get to the point where I'm familiar with the menus enough to know where I need to go when I want to get there.
I beat Ball Pit, but I think I beaten Ball Pit the last time I was here.
You beat it multiple times with a different. You just haven't beat it with certain pairs of characters, I believe.
Well, I mean, yeah, you had to do that, and you unlock New Game Plus. Like mm-hmm. you have to beat the last of the last boss. 8 times, or at least with 8 different characters,
mm-hmm.
Which is essentially 4 runs if you run in 2 characters at a time,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't, and neither of them have beaten the boss before, then that's 2 clears with 1 run.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally did that and beat it, unlocked New Game Plus, and then after that, it's mainly been I went ahead and got 100% on the achievements.
Okay,
There were a couple of them where it's like, you have to create every ball evolution that you can,
mm-hmm.
and you have to evolve, every passive attribute that you can evolve those. There was like two. I was missing more of those, the passives, than I was the actual balls. Mm-hmm. There were two balls that I had to make. One of them required a bunch of different balls being fused into one, mm-hmm. and then all three of those being fused into a bigger version. Mm-hmm. I was able to do that. I was able to do the passives. You know, I had a little, on the second screen, I had a nice little chart of like, here's how to get these. And it's still RNG based. In other words, if I see one of the things come up, I need to grab it, because if the other one comes up, then I can do the merge mm-hmm. and make them into something else. And it was still, but it's still RNG based, even when you're doing it. But it took really no time to get that done. And then after that, it was, you know, run through and collect this much gold or this much wheat or this much rocks or whatever it was in your resource farming that you have. Mm-hmm. That was able to knock that out easily. So another, I say perfect game as far as that's concerned. Another, I got all the achievements for it. Mm-hmm. I rarely do that. I rarely have a game where I get all the achievements.
Yeah, same thing. It's like you have to do things that you weren't playing the game for.
Right, really. Mostly because, yeah, they're a little bit of a stretch of something. You really got to go out of your way to make it happen.
It's like if you're playing a game for the story, but one of the achievements involves you playing the multiplayer mode of the game, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to get that trophy for it.
Or they want it to be done, you know, some kind of ridiculous, like, on the hardest of hard levels that they've got or something like that. Mm-hmm. And
well, if it's a game worth replaying, then, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if it's, like I said, if it's something you're not playing the game for, like, why would I want to go that route, you know, so just
well,
leave it alone.
Yeah, I went ahead and finished that up, and then I started just chasing scores for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's been a minute since I've touched it, really. I went back to my, you know, doing my Marvel Snap. Jumped back into Spider-Man, though. Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
On the PlayStation 5. Kind of got back into, and I hate to use it, but I kind of got back into the swing of things. that was it. I got back into the muscle control, the controller memory and everything else of, like, how to work it and that sort of thing. So,
you know, I'm still yet to do that. Oh, you know, yeah. I've still yet to do the DLC for the first Spider-Man.
I tried it, and I didn't like it.
You really?
Some of it I did, yes.
Yeah.
There were some of it, though. Because I didn't do it until the end of the game, all of the DLC was all in the game already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, the first DLC, I think, was the Black Cat stuff?
I think it's Black Cat, Hammerhead, and Silver Sable.
Maybe. I can't remember.
I think.
Anyway,
yeah.
All three of the DLCs that had released for the game, by the time I got around to it, were already into the game for me to do whenever I started the DLC parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through and did a lot of it, but there was some of it that I didn't finish, and a lot of it was Static Shock, or whatever that one character is,
mm-hmm.
that you got to videotapes you and you have to make it exciting for her live streamers and all this other stuff, and that's how you got the grade or your score based on that.
Mm.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Did not like it one bit. Although I haven't gone back to it to see if maybe I could do it now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So I got a lot of DLC that I've gotten either free or mm-hmm. picked up that I just haven't got around to yet. I mean, Bloodborne, the Old Hunters. I don't think I finished that one yet.
Well, you got Erdtree as well.
I still have to get the Erdtree and Nightreign as well.
So
probably a big bundle later on, but not right now. I'll get around to it eventually.
Lethal Migrant says, pretty sure the game I played the most this week is Cookie Clicker. Well, good on you. Hey, there's mm-hmm. another one out there, Wizard Tower, that actually does have an ending, but it is Cookie Clicker-esque. You know, one of those idle clicker type things. So Wizard Tower was one I played when I was recouping from my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that was, back in June or something. July. Mm-hmm. July.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Wizard Tower was something that I played while I was in recoup. Because it didn't take much for me to play it.
You know? I mean, it's just like a click one or two things and just let it go.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just like, okay, now I have enough to upgrade this, so I'll go ahead and upgrade that and let it play by itself. I didn't really have to spend a lot of time playing it.
Mm.
It played itself. So, yeah, that's why I kind of just sat back and let it do its thing.
Mm.
Thar says, Game Pass has me all over the place with Total Chaos, Routine, Halls of Torment, Visions of Mana. Game Pass excuse me, the only thing that I'm looking at on Game Pass right now, this is the, I don't drink carbonated drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And now I'm drinking this thing, and I'm all burpy.
get a Java Monster. Try that.
I know. Anyway, the only thing that I'm interested in Game Pass right now is Marvel Cosmic Invasion.
Okay.
That's the...
it's a side-scrolling Me Against the World fighting type game.
Side-scroller beat-em-up.
Yeah, I think, what was it? Wolverine, She-Hulk. Who else? Well, we got the internet right here, but yeah.
What is it? Dot Emu? What are those? What's those developers?
Dot Emu or Dotemu or whoever it was. But yeah,
it's those guys.
The guys who remade Streets of Rage, made
Streets of Rage 4.
You know, all that stuff. And,
but I think they also did, didn't they also do the Ninja Turtles?
They did Art of Vengeance, Shinobi. They may have done Turtles as well.
Shredder's Revenge or something like that had a sort of 8-bit style or 16. I don't know I don't know which bit we're talking about.
Yeah, good one.
Classic bit is an easy one to say.
Is it in Marvel Cosmic Invasion?
Yes.
Hmm. Let's see. Yeah, the Final Fight type game. Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious.
Dotemu, yeah.
Yeah. What else did they do?
Let's see.
Final Fight is one of them, obviously. Streets of Rage, I'm sorry.
Streets of Rage 4, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Okay, Shredder's Revenge then.
Windjammers 2.
Oh, yeah, look at there. That?
Yeah, Windjammers 2. Metal Slug Tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that. Yeah. Windjammers, I know from Final Round.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a game that just popped up, and it was people just started playing it, and it got real competitive at the tournament.
It's a very competitive game. Competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing it at PAX. In fact, they had the old arcade copy of. Or an arcade, stand-up arcade, of the first Windjammers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was in San Antonio, and this was before I got sick, because the Royal Rumble was in town.
Mm-hmm.
WWE was there. And I am sorely lacking the dude's name who was hanging around in that arcade where Windjammers was, playing a lot of the old classic arcades, mm-hmm. and I can't remember the wrestler's name. I want to say it starts with an A. Or maybe the last name starts with an A. He's a gamer anyway.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his damn name. He was part of New Day, because that's how far back it goes, and I don't even know if New Day's a thing anymore. Creed. No.
Austin Creed?
Is that his name?
I think. Let's see. I should know this, but Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods. Where'd Creed come from?
Yeah. And I should know, because he did, because he came to GT South one night.
Yeah.
He did. He was coming through town, and there he was, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. He was there. They were playing some arcade games.
Mm-hmm.
And Windjammers was one of them, that first one that I was talking about.
So we got the list of Marvel Cosmic Invasion playable heroes. There are 15.
There's a lot. You can co-op.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Captain America, Nova, Storm, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Beta Ray Bill,
mm-hmm.
Black Panther.
I think Venom's in there.
Yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider, Iron Man, Rocket Raccoon, She-Hulk, Dark Phoenix. Oh, I didn't know that. Silver Surfer. That should be OP as all get out. Then, Phi Lavelle, Venom. Yeah, you called it Venom. Yeah, and looks to be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big roster.
I know, and it's free on game. Well, I say it's free on Game Pass. If you have a Game Pass subscription, you can play it. So mm-hmm. on your either on PC or on your console.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyway, we're going to jump into, there's just a lot of news. There's a lot of news. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff we didn't get to the last time we were on the air, which I'm going to try and get to. You got the Game Awards coming up this week. I'll try and run down some of the nominees, or at least the more significant nominees that they've got there.
Nominees and snubs, right?
Definitely got to hit the snubs.
Yeah.
There was a specific snub, and we'll hit that when we can get to it. Something that came into our news for the usual weekly show that we do here every day that has nothing to do with gaming, but we got gaming info from Google, the top trending searches of 2025 in video games. What do you think the number one search for video games was in 2025?
Grand Theft Auto 6.
Didn't even make the top five.
Hmm.
That's surprising.
Nobody looking for news or anything on that. Okay. So,
Number five, oddly enough, because it just seems like GTA 6 should have beaten this, but number five was Oblivion Remaster, Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion Remaster.
Okay, big fan base, right?
I suppose so, yeah. Okay. Big search there.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Ark Raiders came in at number four.
Okay, popular title, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Number three was Hollow Knight, Silksong.
Another popular title, yeah.
Yeah, number two was Battlefield 6.
Doing a heck of a lot better than Call of Duty right now.
Yeah. And now, knowing that number one is not GTA 6, what do you think it would be? Out of all those that I've just listed there, to kind of give you an idea of where that's at. I was surprised by it, too. But anyway,
Clair Obscur?
That's number one. You got it. Clair Obscur. The number one search for video games of 2025.
Trying to think of an idea why that is, and I think I got a sneaking suspicion why it's looked at like that. But Clair Obscur, 33,
just
got
because
the
it was
one search.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say just because of how massively popular it became.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I think it's going to run. You know, it's just going to run the gauntlet there in the Game Awards and win pretty much everything it's nominated for.
Yep.
That is chosen by a panel and not by players. Even if it was something that was chosen by players, it'd probably still be the thing, but I don't know. Yeah, Thar says, it'll win five awards minimum. Yeah.
So we got an over-under bet on this going out? Over or under 5.5 awards for Clair Obscur at the Game Awards.
I won't say that I'll go through every single nomination for the Game Awards.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure to hit the nominations that Clair is in to tell you, you know, okay, I think it'll win. It might win this one.
What, 12? 12 categories?
It was a lot,
for?
Yeah.
Yeah. 12 to something.
It was the most any game has ever been nominated for
in
the history of the Game Awards there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I lean more and more closer to them probably, you know, sweeping everything that they were in there. What else do we have that I wanted to get into? They got the piece. There was the PC gaming show. It was the 2025 PC gaming show most wanted. The thing was like 2.5 hours long, just game after game after game after game, and it's just
no filler.
You could call filler as far as. There were host segments and all that.
Because usually when you come to award and shows and things like that, you look at all this filler and stuff. It's like out of a 2-hour program, you got like 45 minutes of actual stuff that you're interested
right.
in looking at.
There were some deep dives as far as like they would announce a game and then they would have like, I don't know, it felt like 10 minutes. It was probably more like 5 to 6 minutes of developers speaking and you know showcasing the you know here's what we did and all this. It was just nice long form segment of deep dive into the development of the game that they were talking about. A lot of that I just said nope, just show me more games. I appreciate that, I really do, but I was just, you know, if I was watching it live I'd be way more interested, but I wasn't. I was watching it after the fact and it was easy enough to skip all of that, and so I skipped all of that. So maybe we'll go over that if we can. There wasn't really anything that stood out massively that I remember. A lot of their, now when they're talking about their top 25, they showed way more games than 25 games. But, excuse me.
Yeah, bless you. Twice.
Anyway, they showed way more games than just 25. They had a lot that they showed. They did have 25 games that were in their list of like, here's our most wanted. GTA 6, oddly enough, made that at number 5. The reason it was not at number 1 is basically because this is the PC gaming show. GTA 6 will eventually come to PC, but it's a good ways out, you know? Most likely will not hit 2026 for PC. Will likely be sometime in 2027 when that happens. Because, I mean, GTA 6 is scheduled for like a November release date of next year. So there's no way they're releasing it in November and then still getting a PC version out before the end of the year. Just not going to happen. Their number one game was Slay the Spire 2, which is coming out in March of next year. Stranger Than Heaven was number four. That's the Yakuza Like a Dragon project. What was it called? Project Eden or something like that. That we kept seeing. And I'm really, really kind of interested in that. Control 2, I didn't even know they were doing, but that's on the list. Resident Evil Requiem, Onimusha, Way of the Sword was another one. Neo 3 was also on their list as number 10. What else do we have? Arma 4. I forgot all about the Arma series, but Arma 4. Marvel fighting game. Marvel, is it Tokon? Tokon? Fighting Souls?
T-O-K-O-N?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tokon.
Tokon. There's that one. What else? The Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight at 23. Number 25 was Reanimal, which I believe is coming out pretty soon. I thought it had a release date already. Not showing one here.
I think I've seen that before. Reanimal.
Yeah.
With a date.
I thought I had a date, too. Anyway. All right, we got to take a break. You looked at it. Did you find
November
one?
November 20th.
November 20th is when Reanimal comes out?
Pre-order live on... Oh, that's a pre-order live thing. Okay, February 13th.
Okay, I thought we had a date.
Yeah.
But I knew it wasn't this year.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll jump back more into the news here, and we have a ton of it to give you, so we'll come right back and do that. It is the holiday season, of course, so I'm using holiday music. I will try to find some new stuff, but until then, we've got some classics for you that we've used previous before, which is normally the case when it comes to holiday music and video games. You just don't have a lot of holiday type levels in your video games. You can have horror games, and that fits for the month of October, but when you get into Christmas, it's a little bit more difficult. You got to look for levels that have snow that usually have some music in there. This one is one of those examples. It's from Yooka-Laylee. It's Glitter Glaze Glacier, which is a very difficult thing to say if you tried to do it very fast. But anyway, that's it. And we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. He said. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. That's music from Fable. It is called Hook Coast. I suppose it could be a Christmassy thing. I don't know.
Sounds like it.
It's got a little bit of it in there. Yeah. Not sure.
Probably something in a Tim Burton Christmas type.
Very much so. Very much so. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We're going to dive right back into the news here. We're going to start with Netflix. Two news items to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Not really much to talk about them. Not much to really say, but it is, you know, some things to hit on. The lesser likely known bit of news is that they, what is the name of the studio? Spry Fox was an indie studio, which Netflix bought. And they sold it back to the original owners.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're back in control of their own studio again. This is the studio that made Cozy Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that, I don't know if Cozy Grove is still under the license of Netflix or if they got the license, you know, maybe I should read the article. Spry Fox, Seattle-based studio behind Cozy Games like Cozy Grove, got purchased by Netflix back in 2022. They had an upcoming co-op life sim called Spirit Crossing that'll be coming out. But they are now parting ways with its owner after just 3 years. They're still on publishing duties for Spirit Crossing's mobile release, but it sounds like the now independent Spry Fox is keen to put the game on other platforms too. So Spirit Crossing was built to connect the world, bring people together, and inspire kindness, so being able to bring the game to as many players across different platforms is truly the best thing for the game. So, yeah, looks like they're going to get that. I hope that means that the Cozy Grove will get a wider release, perhaps. Or I think they did an expansion on it or a sequel to it or something that is only on Netflix. So hopefully that'll change. What the big other thing was, as far as Netflix, and most people know, is that Netflix is now going to be buying Warner Brothers in a billion-dollar deal. $82.7 billion. It's interesting that Warner Brothers is available for $82 billion, which is only $20 billion more than what Microsoft paid for Activision.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange to me, and I don't know why. I feel like Warner Brothers should be more expensive than that. If you're saying Activision's only worth $60
billion, mm-hmm.
Activision, Blizzard, what was that mobile game? King Mobile or whatever it is, Candy Crush folks.
Okay, yeah.
You got all of them for $60 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Warner Brothers, with their massive library of films, television shows.
Yeah, more content. And
music,
yeah.
Comic book. I mean, DC, they own DC.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I'm just saying, there's a lot. And it's only $20 billion than it was for the purchase of Activision by Microsoft.
But what's the worth of all the stuff that you just mentioned, though?
I don't know. I would think a lot. I mean, you're also thinking, like, you know, the entire Looney Tunes market, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of stuff there that seems like it would be.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's more of an entertainment. It's like a "What have you done for me lately?"
Oh, I get it.
And
yeah,
what has been done with Looney Tunes lately?
Well, they do have that movie coming out next year, I believe, that almost didn't come out at all.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? I don't know. It involves the Roadrunner.
It's basically something. Basically, they've been stagnant with those titles.
Mostly, yes.
DC, I mean, comics in general. I mean, stories are falling flat. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like it's really hit and miss with comics in general. Really, so comics are probably going down. I mean, their movies in general are hit and miss. I mean,
But I mean, if you look at their movie catalog, I mean, they've got the entire Harry Potter series that's Warner Brothers completely.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of DC property that was made into film, mm-hmm. you're looking at that with the Batman Superman films, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's massively more stuff that goes into that. Whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, so I think I'm also thinking about Warner WB Games with
that is the part that I wanted
to
get to.
Mortal Kombat 1.
Well, they have now. Netflix owns NetherRealm Studios. Owns Rocksteady Studios that mm-hmm. did the Batman games. They own Traveler's Tales, which is the Lego folks
mm-hmm.
That do all the Lego games as well. So there's so the studio that they have, let's former have Netflix to acquire. Warner Brothers Game Studios includes the like of Rocksteady, NetherRealm Studios, and Avalanche Studios. It's currently unknown how the gaming division of Warner Brothers will be impacted by the Netflix acquisition. While gaming isn't mentioned specifically in their press release, games and consumer product and experiences were included during a webcast on the news. Hogwarts Legacy, which was Avalanche Studios, at the least, was a huge revenue driver, and a sequel is extremely likely. While DC fans will surely be hopeful that Rocksteady is reportedly working on a new Batman game to follow its celebrated Arkham Knight series. So, yeah. I don't know what that's going to mean for anything. I have no idea.
Maybe the heads up will tell them what direction to go in with their, just gaming-wise.
Yeah.
You got the folks in place. All you can do is tell them what direction to go in.
I read somewhere else that the this means that Netflix now owns the Nemesis system. From the Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You remember the Nemesis system? Yeah.
The Nemesis system.
The Anemone system?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nemesis system was fantastic and great, and now Netflix owns it. And a lot of, I read somewhere where a lot of people are telling them, once they own it, to release it. In other words, let other people use it, you know, farm it out, sell it.
Yeah, for a small fee.
Yeah, of course. License it, you know. License it out so that companies can use it. Because I wanted to see more with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got anything more except for the two Lord of the Rings games that they released. Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor, whatever they both were.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time we got the Nemesis system. We were supposed to get it with that Wonder Woman game that fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And they canceled. But, yeah, I really wish they would license that out to other. I think it's a fantastic system.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
So I think they should do that. That's the old news. Let's jump into the new news. And let's start with Valve. We had talked about their three different products that they were going to be releasing next year, which is a new controller.
Mm-hmm.
You'll also get a new VR system. And you're going to get a new PC system called a Steam Machine,
mm-hmm.
or as they like to refer to it, a GameCube, because it's very small. It's a very tiny system.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what we found out was people talking as, you know, asking, like, what's the price of this going to be? And they said something in the sense that this machine will be, it'll have equal to or greater components than what 75% of Steam users have. I think it was 75 was the percentage point.
Okay.
Which I would have to look at their statistics, because there's a whole thing on Steam where you can go and see, and this is for people who let them do that. Every now and again, Steam will pop up a thing while when you open it up, saying like, "Hey, would you like to be a part of this, data collection thing?"
Can we see the specs on your machine so we can get a compilation of who's
like,
playing on what?
Who's using Windows 10 still, or who's running Windows 7 or 11? Are you on Linux, or what type of graphics card do you have? In other words, more people are using NVIDIA than they are AMD, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. It's there for stats, and it's fantastic. I enjoy that. It also gives you an idea about what this Steam machine is going to cost. It says if you build a PC from parts and get to basically the same level of performance, that's the general price window that we aim to be at. Ideally, we'd be pretty competitive with that and have a pretty good deal, but we're working on refining that as we speak. Right now is just a hard time to have a really good idea of what the price is going to be. When asked if the Steam machine would be subsidized like a console, which tend to go around $450 to $600 these days, they said no. This isn't to say the device will necessarily be priced like a pre-built PC, though. As he continued on the podcast, obviously our goal is it for being a good deal at that level of performance, and then you have features that are actually really hard to build if you're making your own game PC from parts. Examples he gave were the machine's small size, the ability to interface with a TV remote, and be turned on by the controller, and of course its low noise level. Being able to sit down on your couch, press one button on your controller, and the whole thing lights up like you'd expect for a thing that's in your living room, I think that's very valuable. There's really not a price point to that, because it's not really something that exists in the PC market right now. The average estimation came up to about $525. That's cheaper than a PS5 with a disc drive, and less than $100 more than a Switch 2. That said, the Steam Deck is undeniably a bargain, given its form factor and performance, so maybe Valve's definition of a good deal involves taking the price somewhere in that ballpark. It's all speculation right now, though. We have no idea. But as Jacob noted in the above article, the appeal is of this device depends largely on its price tag, given that it is, at the end of the day, a mid-range PC in a novel package. You can get an RTX 5060 build for like $750, $800. So Valve can't go much higher without dooming the Steam Machine concept for another 10 years in purgatory. There is a price point that is really, really good for it, and I would say it would be that $525 number. Make it the same price as a console, but I don't think they can. I really don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think the $800 is more what you're going to be looking at to get this. But it will be a gaming machine that will do a lot for you for a good while. If they're talking about having the equivalent of a 5060 in there, 5060 is not that bad. I don't know if that's 12. I don't know if that's 12 or 16 gigs of RAM. I'm not sure.
How long before it goes obsolete? Then
could be pretty fast.
18 months.
Depends on when they release it. Actually, you know what? I don't think it'll go obsolete like that.
Because we talk about, like, with building PCs, you know, you get your parts and everything, you put your stuff together, and then after, like, I think it was like 18 months or so, there's always something bigger, better, performance-wise that you could get, or you could wait a while afterwards and just wait for the next step down to keep up with performance.
Yeah, the way things are going right now, and I've been looking into a lot of this because... and I've got a whole thing on it here that we haven't gone into. And I guess that kind of leads into the next thing to talk about. If I can find it. Well.
Talking about the components?
Yeah, I think it's in the old news, actually. If I could find it.
Is the first entry of old news?
Oh, it's the very first entry of old news. Yeah, exactly. The title of this article says, "We're facing what has never happened before." Hard disk drives, DRAM, NAND, all these things, all are in severe shortage in 2026, says Silicon Motion CEO, as memory prices continue to soar. This is something that, as the weeks have gone on, I have noticed more and more and more. When following Black Friday sales, especially when it was looking at PC components, every now and again a graphics card would pop up, and I would look at it, and I was like, hey, that's not a bad price on a graphics card. That's pretty good. And then, so doing research into that, I found out that, amazingly enough, the graphics card prices have actually settled into what they're supposed to be. They're all hitting MSRP. When they originally released the 570, the 570 Ti, the 580, the 590, well, I won't even go to the 590. That thing is like $2,000. Regardless, we won't even touch that.
They can keep it.
Yeah, the 580 is like $1,000. So I mean, yeah. But a lot of those released way above MSRP. Like massively above MSRP. MSRP for a lot of them was like $750. If you were on the NVIDIA side, if you were on the AMD side, it was around $600. But when they first released, stores were selling them for like $999. They were up there like massive markup on all of them. And only now, probably since about late October to even now, they've dropped back down to what their MSRP is. Maybe a little bit over, but not like $100 over. You know what I mean?
That was the Black Friday.
It apparently was not the Black Friday. Some of them had some Black Friday deals. Yeah. Walmart had some Black Friday deals on some cards that were pretty good. But most of it is That's the other off-putting thing about it. We're excited because the prices have reached the MSRP.
Well, that's what I mean. They're calling the Black Friday sale the standard MSRP.
It is, yeah.
That's the Black Friday. That's what we were talking about, how Black Friday hasn't been Black Friday for a very long time.
No, but...
So that's what I meant.
Yeah, but this is just a sense of, oh, yay, get your cards now because they're at MSRP and they're not hiked up. The other problem is the reason people are telling you to get your cards now if you're going to do an upgrade like this is because of the memory shortage. Mm-hmm. The graphics cards use VRAM, is what we've talked about, which is still RAM. And if you are – NVIDIA has already said that they're not going to they're not going to supply RAM to the third parties anymore. So like your MSI, your Asus, your Gigabytes, you know – they're not going to supply that RAM anymore to those partners.
All brands I'm familiar with too.
Yeah,
I was using those companies to for parts and everything.
They've got to get their own RAM their own way, which is going to drive up the price of those cards.
Mm-hmm.
There's a RAM shortage right now. I say there's a RAM shortage. It's not necessarily a shortage maybe there is, but the memory prices are just been skyrocketing, because of AI. They're buying up more and more RAM so that they can do more and more with AI and improve the AI and develop better AI and all this other stuff. So that's why the prices on these things are going way up. Mm. Looking at forum posts, people saying, oh, I just bought this thing. You know, I'm glad I upgraded my PC earlier this year because I paid like $150 for a 32 gig RAM to go in my PC.
Mm-hmm.
Two 16 gig sticks to go in was like $150. Now two 16 gig sticks are pushing like $250 or $300, depending on DDR5 and the different types of stuff that you have. It is just getting absolutely out of hand. I know that Gamers Nexus, Steve over at Gamers Nexus, did he's done two videos on the subject now. His most recent one, you know, call it dooming if you want to, and that's perfectly fine, although I don't necessarily disagree with him when he brings up the fact that he's seeing a future where PCs are subscription-based. In other words, you can have a PC, but if you don't have enough RAM, you can rent it. You know, you can pay a company $30 a month to get 64 gigs of RAM on a cloud basis. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can run your projects, you can run your calculations, you can run whatever you need to run through their servers with their massive RAM for this much. Or you can go out and spend a massive amount of money to get that RAM if you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Just this past week, we were told that, I can't remember the name of the company. Anyway, they're the company that owns Crucial, who does hard drives. They are getting out of the consumer business altogether. They're going to stop selling to the consumer. Crucial, as a brand, is now going to be done. Crucial did SSDs. Crucial did hard drives. Crucial did... they did some other stuff, too. It was all memory-based. It was all hard drive space, RAM, that sort of thing.
Micron Technology?
Micron, that's who it was.
They're getting out of the consumer.
They are getting out of the consumer. They're only going to be selling to the commercial. In other words, they're going to be selling to the bigger companies. That's where they can make their revenue, more of their revenue. They don't have to do this anymore. That also means that other companies can't buy from them.
I just see an article looking them up. Crucial is a casualty of AI's hunger for RAM.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I cannot wait until that AI bubble bursts, if it ever will. But he brought up that whole situation where you'd pay. Essentially, if they can get us on a subscription base, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They will do it. If they can find a way to nickel and dime us on a subscription monthly basis, whether it be for RAM. I mean, they've already got it where, what's it called? NVIDIA Shield or whatever. I mean, Game Pass may be doing it as well, where you play over the cloud, if I want to say that. You know what I'm saying? You play it remotely. You don't actually have to buy the game. You just pay your subscription and you can play it.
You get access to the library through the
remotely through something else that's playing it on a different thing. So I figure it's going to turn that way. Your games will turn that way. Your building a PC will turn that way. Oh, you don't have a good graphics card for this? Well, then pay the subscription price that'll let you play it at max settings or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Through the cloud, streaming, that sort of thing. Yeah, let me go over more of this before we take a break here. Speaking during the company's most recent earnings call early this week, memory manufacturer chief Wallace C. something said, "We're facing what has never happened before. All these things are in severe shortage for 2026. Most of our capacity is sold out." He also said that he'd spoken to other major manufacturers, and while he wasn't prepared to comment on their exact allocation policies, certain percentage distributions would be made between smartphones, PC, and automotive industries. Yes, your car has RAM.
Got a computer in it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Your phone has RAM. There's a whole, like, almost everything uses memory. Of course, the majority will go to AI and AI servers, that he clarified. Balancing is very important so we keep the whole industry moving forward. By the sounds of it, then, the heavy bias towards the AI industry looks set to continue, with us PC gamers left fighting for the scraps. It's looking like a grim 2026 for those of looking to upgrade our system RAM or internal storage. Never mind the knockoff effect it might have on future GPU releases. But there's money to be made out of the AI boom, and memory manufacturers certainly look to be making hay while the artificial sun shines. Silicon Motion reported a 22% increase in revenue year over year, while Samsung is reported to be raising its prices up by 60% on some of its chips. In fact, scrap winter 2026 as a whole is looking like a bloodbath for memory and SSD prices if the AI boom continues on its current trajectory, with some suggestion that the shortage may even continue into 2027. This could all change based on AI demand itself. Should the much-mooted AI bubble pop, it could put a pause in the vast data center expansion we've been reporting over the past few years. There's always the possibility, too, that future AI models could potentially have drastically reduced RAM requirements, as AI servers need vast quantities of the stuff to help power current models at such an enormous scale. A more efficient model could cut down on hardware demands considerably and give the rest of the industry some breathing room. But that's, again, speculation right now. What we do know is that memory prices are currently sky high. SSDs seem to be slowly creeping up behind them, and that the shortage looks set to continue for some time to come. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. If you really want to look at this, or you really want to really get into more of this, and maybe people in Twitch chat have been talking about it. I'm sorry, I've had the articles pulled up. I haven't actually looked. But Gamers Nexus, I will tell you to go there. He's got two videos up about RAM. One about the Micron and the crucial shortage. And that's the one where he brings up the idea of a subscription-based life for PC gaming. But also brings up the fact of memory cartels, or RAM cartels is what he's calling them, about how they're all colluding to... It's highly conspiracy-based, but looking at where things are going, mm-hmm. I can't fault him too much for having that idea that this is a future we're headed into, mm-hmm. given the evidence that he provides. And then he's got another video just talking about the massive rise in RAM prices and what's going on. Mm-hmm. RAM right now is just massively expensive. People are posting bundles. Newegg has bundles where you get a motherboard and RAM. And there was one, I have no idea the quality of the motherboard, but the RAM was like 16 or 32 gigs. I can't remember. The bundle was $400 for the motherboard and the RAM. That's ridiculously priced. But if you went to the RAM and bought it by itself, that's $400. You basically get a motherboard for free. $400 for RAM.
Yeah, I was looking at a PC part picker, and I just looked up the memory. And just random brands and everything like that. Corsair, Kingston, all that G-Skill, stuff like that, right? And I'm looking down the list. $400, $275, $700, $880
mm-hmm.
for a DDR5. It's a two 32 gig sticks.
Okay, so
sixty-four gigs, yeah.
Yeah, 64 is expensive. I'm currently running on a rig with 64 gigs of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Yeah, I've got 416 sticks in there, I think.
Yeah.
Is what I got in there?
Yeah.
So I'm running on 64. I really overdid it when I built my PC. And it's all DDR4.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, these are DDR5.
That's so five, right, yeah.
Now, yeah. I'm right, that's the thing about going overboard. You go overboard, it lasts for a good long while. That thing we're talking about going obsolete,
yeah,
doesn't take as long.
Well, I'm glad I've got the 64. Again, I overdid it, but now I'm kind of glad that I have it because I don't look to be upgrading anytime soon.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Not upgrading anytime soon. Yeah.
For one, I would have to go into. I've got the last processor that was made for the AM4 architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's an AMD. Is it a 5800X3D, I think? Is it a Ryzen 7 5800X3D? Anyway, that was the last chip that they had made for the AM4 architecture. After that, it bumps into AM5. And if I'm going AM5, I have to get a brand new motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if I got to get a brand new motherboard, it's likely I got to get brand new RAM. Because the RAM for the motherboard now is DDR5.
Yep.
It might could do DDR. I don't know. But regardless, I'm not there yet. I'm not going to do that because I'd also have to get another processor as well to do that. Basically, my plan is to skip the AM5 and wait for the AM6. Then I'll do some upgrading for the AM6 architecture.
Mm-hmm.
The other part about that is that the new, you know, you talked about how long you've got until, you know, you buy a new card and how long you've got until the next cards are out.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it was a year. It used to be a yearly basis.
Yeah.
Somewhat yearly basis.
I said 18 months, so year and a half. Something
yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
And now it's moving speculation for the 6000 series in NVIDIA and whatever's coming next from AMD is not until sometime in 2027. Probably won't see anything next year.
Mm-hmm.
From NVIDIA until sometime in 2027. Don't know when, early, mid, late, don't know. We don't necessarily know that it'll be 2027. It could be 2026. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the speculation is it's going to be a little bit further than what you normally would get. It's going to be delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Could be because of the RAM situation. Could be because they're focusing so much on AI. I don't know. But it is a mess in the PC building world. I will try and post links to those videos in not only in our chat, but also in our Discord, just so you guys have those so you can see them. We got to take a break. I don't know what the name of this song is because it shows as blank. So I think it's Blue Stinger, but it might not be. I don't know. It's just blank.
Hmm.
But we'll find out with you, and we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. That's Blue Stinger?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I figured. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is Dream Bells is the name of the track. You're saying it comes from Christmas Nights?
Christmas Nights, yeah.
Yeah. I always liked when games did that. Like, hey, we're going to put out some DLC related to the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. By the way, talking about these RAM prices, that's why I jump back to that previous conversation about how much the Steam machine is going to cost.
Yeah.
They haven't manufactured them yet that I know of. And that's going to be another issue when you try to price those.
Yeah,
with
the price of components and getting this thing together, it's going to be a big factor.
Massive factor. Massive, massive factor here on this thing. It's just as horrible what's going on right now. Far Cry is getting a live-action television series for, does it say? It doesn't say. I thought maybe it was for like Amazon or something like that, but it's nothing like that. Splinter Cell Remake, which you still haven't really heard anything about. However, it got a new director. Which is actually the old director. So in other words, his name is David Grivel. He left Ubisoft in October of 2022. Then he was originally working on that Splinter Cell remake. He left the company, gets hired back, and is now back on the remake. They announced this game in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remake.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think, unless they're going right from the ground up rebuilding everything, then maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. It just seems like they've been working on this for a very long time, and it's only a remake. So, yeah. But we still have no new info on the game, other than Splinter Cell got a new director. That's it. We still don't have any idea of what we're getting, when we're getting it. So, yeah. Still looking over these things. The Rockstar firing. Remember the whole thing about union busting and those people getting fired for doing that and that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
This is an article from Eurogamer, says former Rockstar game staff were fired last month due to internal company messages being discussed on a Discord server shared privately between staff and union workers, a new report has suggested. Rockstar Games fired 34 staff members for gross misconduct, though further details have not been officially revealed. The company has since been accused of union busting, with UK Trade Union Independent Workers Union of Great Britain launching a legal claim alleging unfair dismissal of staff. Now, a new video report from People Make Games has revealed messages shared in a Discord server sourced from a Rockstar insider who believes these may be the cause of the dismissal. Use of the Discord server began in 2022 and was invite-only for employees, with a general channel available to all and other channels accessible only for paying union members. Membership to the Discord was limited to either Rockstar employees or representatives of the IWGB, the UK version that we were talking about, the Union of Great Independent Workers Union of Great Britain. Most conversations of the Discord were around salaries, bonuses, and other HR issues, topics protected by the Equality Act of 2010, and relevant to the union members. After major leaks in the past, it's understandable that Rockstar would be protective of its work, but it would appear this Discord server contained no confidential information about its games. The catalyst towards these dismissals, however, appears to be the sharing and discussion in the server of changes to internal Slack policies. Rockstar employees are unable to access their work emails outside of the office, and as at least one email concerning these internal policy changes was shared after work hours, it was instead discussed in this Discord server with details and quotes shared. People Make Games source believes at least one server member brought this to Rockstar's management. Squealer. Yeah. Snitch. Which reportedly led to an internal investigation into the Discord server. The Slack policy changes were initiated in the second week in October, and by the end of the month, 34 employees had been fired. As such, the timing of these dismissals is in line with these messages, as the source suspects. The Slack policy changes themselves include the removal of various miscellaneous chat channels concerning non-work topics, which Rockstar considered a distraction. The Slack purge, as it became known by employees, proved unpopular and as such was discussed separately on the Discord server. One Slack channel focused on gaming became a place for employees to share industry news on mass layoffs. Union members often reacted with the seedling emoji to show support. I don't know what that is. Elsewhere on Slack, employees would use emojis in their status to show support for important causes, Palestine, Israel, that sort of thing. All of this was disallowed under Rockstar's new Slack policy. What we've seen time and time again is that Rockstar are desperately trying to prevent people from being able to communicate, said one of the union worker presidents, Alec Marshall. He said, all these workers have ever been trying to do is to discuss their pay and conditions in order to try and improve them so they can deliver a game that's loved by millions. Rockstar refused to comment on the investigation. In addition to the IWGB's legal case against Rockstar, over 200 employees at Rockstar have signed a letter to management condemning the firing of their fellow staff members. So that's where we are on that one. Cyberpunk has sold a bunch of copies.
Another game I ain't finished.
You and me both. CD Projekt Red has just announced that Cyberpunk 2077 has passed 35 million copies sold, and that it reached the milestone faster than The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which I am very surprised by. CDPR announced the sale milestone on X and in a quarterly financial report and accompanying video. It was in that video that Chief Financial Officer said this is a better result than The Witcher 3 was able to achieve in the same post-release timeframe. Cyberpunk is currently our main source of revenue, and we continue to expand its availability. Yep. But now they're working on The Witcher 4, which I don't know when we're going to get some more info on that, but it looked really good when they were showing it off for the Unreal Engine demo. Mm-hmm. Looked really good. Oh, boy. It's another article about the RAM. Prices have more than doubled in 2 months. They show no sign of slowing down. They've risen so sharply, in fact, that some shops have stopped printing price labels so they can alter the prices daily as though they were market traders selling freshly caught fish. They're not. Yeah, it's not. That's exactly how they're doing it. The problem is likely to affect us all in gaming. It isn't only a PC gaming issue. Obviously, it'll be more expensive to build and upgrade a PC, but the rise in prices also causes problems for Valve's upcoming Steam machine as it enters full production. The consoles aren't safe either. There's already talk of Microsoft raising Xbox prices in response, and even companies with large RAM stockpiles won't be safe forever. What's more, the component crunch isn't an isolated issue. RAM is the acute problem right now, but SSD storage prices are on the rise, and graphics card prices, though more stable than they have been in previous years, remain high. These are all connected things, and if the prices continue to rise, they may push gaming beyond the reach of many people's expendable incomes. Why is this happening? It's AI. The price of RAM has been increasing since the spring, but it was turbocharged at the start of October when colossal AI company OpenAI, which makes ChatGPT, announced a deal with two of the world's largest producers of memory chips, Samsung and SK Hynix, I believe is the name of them. This deal will see Samsung and SK provide memory to OpenAI for its huge Stargate data center initiative, which will effectively result in OpenAI commandeering 40% of the world's RAM output.
Good Lord.
The response? Panic buying, as companies rushed to fill their RAM reserves, which only drove the prices higher. It didn't help that RAM manufacturers generally had smaller reserves to begin with because they'd produced a surplus during COVID when demand was higher, as people transitioned to working at home. Recent tariff ridiculousness, mostly between the U.S. and China, also made matters worse, disrupting supply lines and undermining confidence as companies waited to see what would happen next. It's a perfect storm of unpreparedness, panic, and greed. What does this mean for gaming? On the surface level, it means buying RAM for a PC is more expensive. You already looked at some PC part picker prices.
Yeah.
That was a lot of P's. The newer generation DDR5 RAM is particularly expensive. Our tech reporter Will Judd tells me that 32 gigs of DDR5 RAM he uses to test most of his builds increase from, this is 88 pounds, I guess, 88 whatever their
currency
is, to 222, went from 88 to 222. At the higher end of speedy 64 gig DDR5 RAM, you can find prices as high as 735, which is up from 228. Making it more expensive than a PS5 Pro, especially at its current discounted rate. The knock-on effect is companies that make gaming devices that use RAM, which is pretty much all of them, have to put their prices up to compensate. CyberPower PC, who does pre-built PCs, did exactly this, warning of a price increase in December because of market conditions. Says Sony seems to be well-stocked, hence the company's ability to drop the price of the PlayStation 5 for Black Friday and to introduce a cheaper PlayStation 5 model exclusively for Japan, which has already quadrupled sales in the region. Nintendo is also suspected to be well-stocked, having presumably bulked RAM reserves ahead of the Switch 2 launch this year. But Microsoft is rumored to have low levels of stockpiled RAM, so many feel the sting of rising prices soonest as it goes out to buy more. Will that then be absorbed by Microsoft as it tries to keep the Xbox prices down, or will it be borne out of the end-user price? Will they raise their prices to cover it? There's a question mark over Valve and its Steam machine, though. Valve will not subsidize the cost of the machine, as console manufacturers typically do, in an effort to establish an installed base to sell games to. The Steam machine will much more closely reflect the price of the individual components that are in it. Valve presumably has a big enough stockpile for an initial production run, but how soon will it need more RAM that it will pay exorbitant prices for? Is this enough of a problem that it may delay the release of the Steam machine? We don't know. Now, how long is this going to go on? Given that AI demand is the driving force behind these inflated RAM prices, those prices will presumably remain high as long as tech companies invest heavily in AI, which they are currently doing and show no signs of stopping. That's where the big money is, so that's where everybody wants a piece of it. But there is speculation that bubble may burst. And although whether or not that will bear out or when is just completely unknown. It's worth noting that exacerbating factors such as tariffs and the general cost of living continue to burden the market. They are the reasons we've seen unprecedented prices rise across this generation of consoles. After all, this is the first generation in memory where the price of a console has actually gone up since the launch. Normally, they go down.
Yeah.
We're much more used to seeing prices and sizes of consoles shrink alongside the components in them, though this is harder to achieve now than it used to be. So, yeah, we don't know. This all comes from a Eurogamer article, by the way. It's just getting bad.
You mentioned panic buying. Last time I heard that term was when the year changed over in 2000.
Yeah.
All the toilet paper, all the water. Everything taken off the shelves, and then COVID was
toilet paper. Yeah. Oh, you mentioned
that, and hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Then that guy got arrested for that, didn't he? He bought all the hand sanitizer in the area and tried to.
Or toilet paper that he was hoarding.
Yeah, he was hoarding.
He was going to try and sell it out or something like that. They caught him on something.
I think he got arrested for that. Yeah,
he got charged with something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fined, maybe. I don't know what the deal was, but yeah, he. It was not good for doing that.
Panic buying, hoarding supplies, things like that. Yeah. So.
But they're not going to come after you on RAM.
No.
RAM's not one of those necessity things like toilet paper is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we need it, but...
Not that much.
Not like you need toilet paper, man. It's just so bad. It's bad the way that's gotten. And you know, I'm okay, but...
I mean, it's a product, supply and demand, and my goodness, the demand, at least on the AI side, jacking the prices up.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard to update your computer. So run what you got for as long as you can, because it's not going to be easy to upgrade that thing the way you want.
No, it isn't. All right, we're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to just run the gauntlet of news that we can as fast as we can and try and talk as much as we can about it with the time that we have left. Here is music from New Super Mario Brothers. This says you, but I'm sure it's in whatever it is. But anyway, it's the Snow Overworld music. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this.
Pop, pop.
Welcome back into In-Game Chat. That is Banjo-Kazooie, Freezeezy Park. Peak. Freezeezy.
Freezy Park.
I mean, yeah, but it's Freezeezy Park.
Yeah, I just say Freezy Park.
Yeah, it's easier.
Less risk of a FCC violation.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're okay. All right. Moving into, you know, another subject that is near and dear to Lethal Migraine's heart. Mm. Bungie.
What'd they do now?
You know, regret their actions, I believe. Last year, Bungie released The Final Shape, the long-awaited expansion that ended the story of the Light and Darkness saga for Destiny 2 that had been running for 10 years since the release of the first Destiny.
10-year plan.
That was the one I was on. It was the one I wish I could have finished it out before my ban, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Following this, Bungie announced the start of an entirely new long-term story called the Fate Saga, which it started in July of 2025 with the release of The Edge of Fate. The second expansion, Renegades, is set to launch on December 2nd. It's inspired by Star Wars. According to director Tyson Green, however, the Fate saga hasn't started as well as it could have because players weren't happy with what The Edge of Fate offered. In an interview with IGN, Green said that the expansion didn't deliver on player expectations at a crucial time when numerous players moved to different games after The Final Shape brought a natural end to a 10-year storyline. The Final Shape brought things to a crescendo where it's like a fantastic ending that tied off a lot of threads. People were pleased and satisfied with what they had played, and then the big spike, the downward spike in population came after that. That happened because we ended the saga, so you get what you pay for, right? That wasn't the plan from the business perspective. We still wanted to keep making Destiny. We still have many stories to tell in this universe. There are still lots of things to do, and we have to keep building the game. Unfortunately, it was not gracefully managed, but we had to try something. Green explained that The Edge of Fate focused too much on grinding to reach a higher level, rather than providing the player with more satisfying rewards. We looked at the problem that we had after The Final Shape, and we said, we think there's a route here, which is leaning into more systems of pursuit, getting new tiers of gear, armor, power progression, things like challenge customization. These things that can allow a core audience of players to really say, I'm really going to take this game and put it through its paces and get good rewards for it. It sounded great on paper, but it didn't work. I think we've been taught a bunch of hard lessons about what our players want. And there are really two kinds of live games, those that listen to the players and respond, and those that don't. And we don't want to be a dead live game. We want to keep building Destiny. So we're listening to our players, and what our players are telling us is that they don't want to chase a simple number that goes up. They want real rewards. So, will that change anything? I don't know. You're going to see their player base increase? Probably because of the Star Wars connection, because they're going to be... They're going to be Star Wars people that want to jump into something that's Star Wars related, you know? Mm. If they're doing Star Wars stuff in my Destiny, I guess I got to get my Destiny so I can get my Star Wars stuff, if that's the case. But I don't think you have to. Sticking with Bungie, let's jump over to Marathon for a second. The artist whose work was stolen to develop the look of Marathon, Bungie's next upcoming extraction shooter, says it's all water under the bridge. The Marathon art issue has been resolved with Bungie and Sony Interactive Entertainment to my satisfaction, wrote the artist on Twitter. The update comes nearly 7 months after they posted on Twitter claiming that their work had been lifted and used as textures in a Marathon playtest in May. Bungie is, of course, not obligated to hire me when making a game that draws overwhelmingly from the same design language I have refined for the last decade, they said at the time. But clearly my work was good enough to pillage for ideas and plaster all over their game without pay or attribution. Bungie later confirmed that that art had been taken without permission, laying the blame on a former artist who turned in a texture sheet that was ultimately used in-game. They always blame it on somebody who doesn't work there anymore.
Fall guy.
It's always somebody who doesn't work there anymore. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't think we ever got a name on that person, which I'm not saying you want to name them and shame them, but you should probably let them know when they're trying to hire to get hired again for a job that the guy used, you know, assets without permission. You may want to use caution when hiring this person type of thing. I'm not saying he doesn't need to get a job anywhere anymore. I'm just saying that not knowing who it was leads me to believe that there really wasn't somebody to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
This was a collection of somebodies who likely did not lose their job over it. They just said, whoops, and they had to figure out a way to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they later confirmed that. They said the issue was unknown by existing art team, and we are still reviewing how this oversight occurred. We take matters like this very seriously. We've reached out to the artist to discuss this issue and committed to do right by the artist. The artist, like we said, then responded saying, like, everything's taken care of to my satisfaction. I'm sure some kind of deal was struck for money.
Yeah.
To make that happen. Oh, what else do we have? Looking here. Okay. Let's go with... well, that didn't work. Hang on.
So think about Destiny 2. I think get players back, make a Destiny 3. Think maybe
right?
Maybe people are just tired of Destiny 2.
That's my thought, too. That's my thought of where they need to go. Is to just go ahead and do a Destiny 3. Real quick before I jump into the more sad news... Ball Pit that I had talked about has sold 1 million copies, and beginning in January and for the year 2026, they will have 3 free updates to the game, which will add new balls, new ball evolutions, new characters, new levels. But they're free, which is great. And they'll be coming out over the course of next year. In fact, the trailer that they had for it listed when each of them are coming out, so you can actually see when they're coming out. I believe there's a January update, and then I think there's an April or May update, and then there may be one in the summer, maybe in August or something like that, that may be another update, but I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look. So that's great. All right, on to the sad news, or at least seemingly sad news. Yacht Club Games... They have said they reached a make-or-break point with the success of the company resting on its upcoming Mina the Hollower. Speaking to Bloomberg, the studio says that its fate relies on the title, which was set to launch in October of this year. 3 weeks before its intended release, Yacht Club delayed the project indefinitely, while emphasizing it is in the final hours of development to ensure the game releases with the highest possible chance of success. It's make or break for sure, Yacht Club Games co-founder and studio head admitted. If we sold 500,000 copies, then we would be golden. If we sold even 200,000, that would be really, really great. If we sold like 100,000, that's not so good. If the game does not succeed, the studio would need to downsize its team and seek new funding sources, the article said. Mina the Hollower, the studio's second IP after the hugely successful Shovel Knight series, has been in the works for 6 years. Yacht Club raised $1.2 million in Kickstarter backing in 2022 with a planned launch in December of 2023, but the game ballooned in scope. Their report attributes this to the inexperience of the first-time team leader who created the initial concept for the game and was both running the project and helming the design. By his own admission, he isn't suited to this position. He said, I don't think I excel super well in that kind of role. In order to reduce its cost, Yacht Club is ditching its office to become a remote studio. The developer is set to focus on one project at a time rather than dividing its time between multiple projects as it did with Mina the Hollower and an unannounced 3D Shovel Knight title, which has been put on hold while the former game is finished. What we're doing in the future is trying to figure out ways to have a game come out every couple of years instead of every 5 or 6. We haven't released a game in so long. It's based on their success is based on their next release. They didn't know it, but their success was based on a release that came out back in October. I think it was October. Or was it November? What I'm talking about is Three Fields Entertainment. Three Fields Entertainment are the folks behind Dangerous Golf, Danger Zone 2, Dangerous Driving, and Dangerous Driving 2, and then the most recent thing that they released, which was Recreation. They were founded by some of the makers of Burnout. But as of Thursday or Friday, it was Thursday, they notified their entire staff that they are at risk of redundancy. The CEO, Fiona Sperry, broke the news in a post on LinkedIn. The studio released Recreation in October, but Fiona said that Three Fields will not see revenue from game sales for the foreseeable future. The Steam player count for Recreation peaked at 199 in October. Although the game was published by THQ Nordic, Sperry said that Three Fields has resorted to self-funding for most of this year, including putting up money to support post-launch content. Quoting her, "Without the enthusiasm or financial support from our publisher to continue development, we simply cannot sustain the studio in its current form. Making this decision has been unbelievably painful," Sperry wrote. "This is a heartbreaking moment for all of us. What makes it even harder is that we have so many things in the pipeline, multiple features, updates, creative ideas that we were excited to bring to the game, many of which are showcased in the video that we're sharing today. These are things we genuinely believed would have continued to strengthen recreation and grow its community. My hope is that by showing this work publicly, someone out there might also see that potential and perhaps an opportunity could still emerge. But even if that hope does not materialize, we want this to stand as a testament to our vision and to the strength, passion, and skill of our tiny team. I truly believe in the potential of this game and in the brilliance of the people who built it." Yeah, that was kind of sad to hear. It was always, Three Fields was always a studio that I got behind because of Dangerous Golf and the fact that they had built Burnout, which I love. Burnout's just that's in my top three franchises that I've ever played. Myst would be number one. I don't know what comes after that, but Myst would be number one, and then Burnout's in there. But my whole point is that whenever I had heard that they were doing this, I looked at Dangerous Golf and I said, okay. This is Burnout-esque with what they're doing. It's odd because it's golf, but I can see the influences of Burnout and what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Then they came out with Danger Zone, which was basically just Crash Mode, isolated. And I still had hope. I know that things were not looking great, but I just thought, this could build into something. You know, if anything, I've got my car crushing and explosion and wreckage and things that I so loved. At least I've got that. Then they did Dangerous Driving, which I never played. And Dangerous Driving 2, I think, was the sequel they did. Maybe. I'm not sure. But I never played that one. I haven't played Recreation either. Recreation was supposed to be that, like, hey, this is Burnout again. We're bringing it back. This is Burnout, but we're giving you Burnout and we're giving you Trackmania. So you can build your tracks and you can wreck your stuff and just all these great things. And I was going to pick it up. But as you got closer to release, they didn't release any videos. I wasn't seeing anything about, like, I hadn't seen anything. The week of release, they started releasing some videos of gameplay. Mostly we were getting these pre-cut trailers that didn't, I mean, it showed gameplay, but not much. You really didn't get an idea of what's going on. And we started seeing more gameplay that they released. The reviews weren't great for it. It wasn't terribly bad, but it wasn't, an amazing type of an achievement. And so I passed on it. And I'm still not there at picking it up, to be honest with you. But I hate to hear that about them because I felt like if they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to get there, But they did keep doing what they're doing, and they finally got to where a company would put some money behind them, THQ Nordic at least. And maybe they could do that. And even with that, they couldn't make it. I don't know where they're missing on catching that lightning in a bottle again with Burnout. I don't know where that's going wrong because I haven't played those type of games, where they've introduced the racing aspect. I've done the Crash Mode stuff. They've nailed that, but the racing type stuff I'm not sure of. So I don't know. But yeah. So it was kind of sad to read about that because I feel like we're getting close to a Burnout, right? We're getting close to something that can fill that hole. And we're not there yet. We're not there. So, what else do we have? Amazon Prime members can snag 14 free games this month. What's the list here? Here's everything that's on the way for December if you have Amazon Prime and the free games that you can get from it. Lego 2K Drive, Forgotten Realms, The Archives, Collection 1, whatever that is. Gylt, G-Y-L-T. Forgotten Realms, The Archives, Collection 2. Also, the Collection 3 is going to be available, too. Christmas Adventure, Candy Storm. I don't know what that is. Gunslugs 2, Ash World. Bo, Path of the Teal Lotus. I don't know what that is. Fallout 1, Fallout 2. Dreamscaper. Living Legends, The Crystal Tears. I don't know what that is. And Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. That's a great one to put on there. Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. Really good game there. So I'm glad they're adding that. So it looks like we got through most of the news that is new news. Do we have time to jump back into the old news? I didn't go over the PC gaming show, but that's fine. Boy, do we have time to talk about Krafton and their CEO guy? Man,
we got more drama, right?
Yeah, this is from the Subnautica 2 situation. The legal dispute between Krafton and the former top dogs at Subnautica 2 developer Unknown Worlds is now at the point where the lawyers are fully in control, sifting through the sands of everything everyone's ever said or done over the past 10 years in search of the ace attorney bomb that will blow things wide open. It's something of a drag, to be honest. A lot of he said, she said. But one interestingly odd bit did emerge from the smoke. Krafton CEO, Changum Kim, reportedly asked ChatGPT to help him figure out how to avoid paying the Subnautica 2 earnout that he'd agreed to when acquiring Unknown Worlds. This is the problem when you... How many times has somebody been arrested for charges and then they go back to their search history and said, just the other day you looked up how to kill somebody with a rope or whatever the case may be. Like, just the other day, you looked up how to fraud a company out of,
Yeah.
Like, you're real specific about what you're searching for.
Yeah.
So, apparently, he was very specific about what he said to ChatGPT. When asked yesterday whether the claim, now this is an old article, but when asked whether that claim was accurate, Krafton denied it and described the allegation as a distraction from the former Unknown Worlds head's own efforts to destroy evidence. Court transcripts that released today reveal something of a different story. I started discussing this matter with various teams within the company to figure out what we could do. That's what Changum Kim testified in his deposition. When asked what he did when he discovered that Subnautica designer and director weren't directly involved in the development of Subnautica 2. So I talked to the legal team, the finance team, and the corporate team, and the PR, all of these various teams. And I also actually searched on ChatGPT to get faster answers to figure out what kind of rights we have. When asked why he would consult with ChatGPT on a matter like this, Kim said, I think, just like everyone else, I'm using ChatGPT to get faster answers or responses, just like Google search. During cross-examination, lawyers for the former Unknown Worlds principals also point out that in a June 2nd message sent to Krafton, head of corporate development, Kim included a ChatGPT link and subsequently referenced the chatbot's advice directly. Here's the quote. Now, ChatGPT is starting to answer that it is difficult to cancel the earnout. If so, this is a contract under which we can only be dragged around. The lawyers also point out that while that particular ChatGPT conversation was subsequently deleted, as was one about a no-deal scenario with the studio, others from around the same time still exist. On redirect, Kim said he deleted those queries because what I learned is that from OpenAI is that if you use certain important information concerning your company, then that type of information can be used by OpenAI for learning purposes. Boy, can you hear the tap dancing going on? It's all rather messy. Kim, who acknowledged making dozens of ChatGPT inquiries every day regarding general business at Krafton, said he was merely using it to research his options, as he would with any other search engine. And that's maybe to be expected, given Krafton's embrace of AI. In October, the company announced an AI-first strategy, which Kim said at the time will help lead AI innovation across the game industry. I'm already tired of saying two stupid letters. I'm tired of saying AI. It's abysmal.
Would you rather say the full word?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I would be tired of saying artificial intelligence as well. The company also plans to spend $70 million on a GPU cluster to support multi-stage tasks requiring sophisticated reasoning and iterative planning and serve as the foundation for accelerating the implementation of AI. But with hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, not to mention the future of one of Krafton's potentially most lucrative games, I would think shareholders would expect more from their CEO than just kicking it around with a chatbot. The deletion of inquiries related to Unknown Worlds also kind of, you know, cast a little bit of something on those things. Kim said simply that he deleted those things that included the company's confidential information. But coupled with yesterday's flat-out denial of any ChatGPT usage regarding the matter, it starts to look a little shady, you know? Because at first he said, no, we didn't do that. Then records revealed that, yes, you actually did do that. So, yeah, more of that drama ensues.
Yeah. A lawyer ain't going to ask a question he or she don't already know the answer to.
That's the fun part about courts. I am not a lawyer, but anything everybody has ever said about court cases and all this stuff of like, he said, she said, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you sue them, which some people are very happy to do, there's apparently something called discovery, which means you get all the information you need on the topic. On whatever it is, you get to have everything so you can look through all of these things to find this stuff. And once that's out there, then, you know, you have to submit these things and, you know, you can get caught. So you have to be careful with how you handle that.
Yeah.
I think we're going to wrap it up. That's going to be it for us. That did it. Thank you so much for sitting through the news there and sitting through all the noise that we had going on. They're done now, but we'll be back tomorrow to do more. Anyway, you guys have a fantastic night. Have a wonderful time. We really appreciate you tuning in and sticking with us through the past 2 weeks and the years and everything else. We got more shows to do here because we'll do one next week and the week after, but then I think that's it for the year for us. So, So thanks so much. We got music here from Arkham Origins, The Night Before Christmas. It's my favorite track from the game. I promise you I'm going to find some new Christmas tracks if I can. There was a Grinch game that was released recently. That's got to have some kind of Christmas music in it, right?
Should.
I know. Anyway, have a great one. We'll see you next Saturday.